There is a delightful story that the Zulus of South Africa like to tell. The story of a man of the early race who possessed a wonderful herd of cattle. Every day he took them out to the veld and chose the best grazing for them. In the evening he would bring them back to his kraal and seal the entrance with thorn branches to protect them from wild animals. And while they chewed the cud, he would watch them, thinking, "In the morning I shall have a wonderful lot of milk to draw from them." One morning, however, he went to his kraal to milk his cows, but he was surprised to find their udders wrinkled and empty. He first thought that he had chosen their grazing badly. The next day he took them to better grass. That evening he thought, "Tomorrow certainly I shall get more milk than before." But the next morning the udders were dry and empty. For the second time he changed their grazing, and yet again the cows had no milk. Disturbed and suspicious, he decided to stay up and keep watch over the cattle throughout the night. In the middle of the night, he was astonished to see a cord of finely woven rope descending from the stars. Coming down the cord, he saw young women of the people of the sky. They were beautiful and joyful, whispering and laughing softly among themselves. He watched them steal into his kraal with their calabashes and milk his cattle dry. Angry and indignant, he jumped out of his hiding place to catch them. They scattered in all directions, and he did not know which way to run. In the end, he caught only one, and the others fled heavenward, and the last person pulled the cord up behind her. But the man was content because the woman he had caught was the loveliest one of all. He made her his wife. And from that moment, he had no more trouble from the people of the sky. He and his new wife were happy, and they prospered. But one thing worried him. When he had caught his wife, she had had a basket. It was so skillfully and tightly woven that he could not see through it. And it had a lid that fit the opening perfectly. Before she had married him, she had made him promise that he would never lift the lid of the basket and look inside until she gave him the permission to do so. If he did, a great disaster would overtake them. Months went by, and the man became more curious about the basket, wondering what was inside. One day, when he was alone, he went into his wife's hut and saw the basket there in the shadows. Snatching off the lid, he looked inside. For a moment, he stood unbelieving and then burst out laughing. When his wife returned in the evening, she knew at once what had happened. She looked at him with tears in her eyes. "You've looked into the basket," he admitted with a laugh, saying, "You silly, silly woman. Why have you made such a fuss about the basket? There's nothing in it at all." "Nothing," she said, hardly finding the strength to speak. "Yes, nothing," he said emphatically. And at that, she turned her back on him and walked straight into the sunset and vanished. She was never seen on earth again. Why did she go away? Not because he had broken his promise and looked inside the basket, but because looking inside the basket, he had found it empty. For in reality, it was full of beautiful things of the sky that she had stored for them both. And because he could not see them and just laughed, there was no use for her on earth anymore. And so she vanished. God gave the people of Israel a wonderful basket. And like the Zulu basket, it was covered so that for a long time nobody could look inside of it. except perhaps the prophets. As the years went by, the people became more suspenseful to learn what was hidden inside the basket. At last, Jesus of Nazareth came, and he opened it for them. Of all the gifts in the basket, two are the most important for our daily lives, here and now. It's the gift of God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, and the gift of the kingdom of God. They are the gifts that Jesus received at his baptism. God's Spirit descended into him, and empowered and inspired by this Spirit, he went throughout Galilee announcing, "The kingdom of God has drawn near. The fruit on the tree of life is ripe and is now ready for picking. Believe the good news, eat, enjoy, and be satisfied." The gift of the kingdom of God, or God's kingship, God's rule, is perhaps the most misunderstood gift of all. Many Christians come to think that it is a gift that was limited to Jesus. He received the gift and began to distribute its benefits. He transformed 160 gallons of water into a wonderful heady wine. In the middle of a storm, he got up in the boat in which he and his disciples were sailing across the Sea of Galilee, and he commanded the winds and the sea to be calm. He provided bread and fish for multitudes in the wilderness. He opened the eyes of the blind. He healed an unclean leper. And he enabled him to return to a full and rich life in society. He raised the daughter of a synagogue ruler from the dead. Those were some of the gifts of the kingdom of God. And he was able to distribute them among his people because he was empowered by the other gift that was hidden in God's basket, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the kingdom of God is the gift of receiving the right and privilege of exercising God's kingship in our daily life and in our relationship to others with whom we live and work. The kingdom of God is the family of God's daughters and sons, the family to which you and I belong. And it is to us that God entrusts God's rule, God's kingship in the world. To his disciples in Luke 12:32, Jesus said, "Little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And later in Luke chapter 22, in the context of his institution of the Lord's Supper, he informs his disciples, "I confer on you as my Father conferred on me a kingdom." God's kingdom. We are God's flock. We are God's beloved daughters and sons, and this gift has been given to us. We are living 2,000 years later, and yet many of us may not be aware that the kingdom of God, God's kingship, belongs to us. If we acknowledge Jesus as king, and we certainly will do that at Christmas time, we must also recognize ourselves as queens and kings. It's a horizontal relationship. By accepting our identity as kings and queens, we have the privilege of exercising God's rule, God's kingship, God's authority in our daily lives and decisions. We can serve as God's agents of healing and reconciliation in our broken world. The empowerment for this is provided by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's other gift to us. In John 14, Jesus says to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I shall ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another helper, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world is unable to receive because it neither sees nor knows her. You know her because she abides with you and shall be in you. Saul of Tarsus looked into this basket, and initially he did not like what he saw. To him, its gifts appeared to be a contradiction of his own Jewish faith. And for a period of time, he pursued Jesus' disciples who had begun to use these gifts in their own ministry throughout the Middle East. As Paul himself said in his letter to the Galatians, I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. But after an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, his eyes were opened to the grace and wonder of these gifts that the basket contained. And he became Paul the Apostle to the unclean Gentiles of the Mediterranean world. Like Jesus, Paul received God's Spirit. And like Jesus, he took possession of God's kingship, God's rule. And he went from city to city in that part of the world in order to inspire Gentiles by his preaching and teaching to accept these gifts of God's wonderful basket and to transfer them into their own lives. By taking the gifts of God's kingship and God's Spirit and beginning to activate them in their lives, they, like Paul the Apostle, were becoming God's basket of gifts to the world. Paul, however, did not use the metaphor of basket. That is an African metaphor. Paul used the image of clay pots or clay jars. We have this treasure in clay pots so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power, the power of God's Spirit, belongs to God and does not come from us. The image of clay pots is appropriate because according to Genesis 2, God created us out of clay and breathed into us, and we became living beings. We are God's clay pots, and we are the bearers of God's gifts. But in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul employs another metaphor, the metaphor of a letter. In chapter 3, he says, you are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. What is inside of the letter that you and I are is identical to what we contain as clay pots, the gifts of God's Spirit and God's kingship. God's basket was opened by Jesus, and Jesus himself claimed the gifts inside of that basket and incarnated them in his life. Paul accepted these gifts and incarnated them in his apostleship. These gifts are yours and mine also. And we are invited to incarnate them in our lives. We are God's clay pots. We are God's letter. We are the bearers of the treasures that Jesus made available when he opened God's basket. Moses had become a bearer of these gifts, and that's why his face mirrored the glory that these gifts imparted to him. But he concealed the glory of these gifts, the gifts of God's Spirit and God's kingship, by covering his face with a veil. Now, if the ministry of death chiseled in letters on stone tablets came in glory, so that the people of Israel could not gaze on Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? Since then we have hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. Moses concealed this glory because it was temporary. And it was a glory that was limited to one person, Moses himself. It was only a shimmer, a sparkle of the glory that God willed for all human beings when they followed Jesus into accepting the treasures of God's basket, the gifts of God's kingship, and the gift of God's Spirit. Where do we find ourselves today? Are we still at Mount Sinai and see only the veil that covered Moses' face? Are we like the Zulu shepherd who opened the basket that his heavenly wife introduced into their married life and saw nothing? These gifts of God's basket that Jesus opened and bequeathed to us are our glory as God's beloved daughters and sons. That is the glory that Paul wants the Corinthians to experience. Now, if the Lord is the Spirit, he says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image. That is the image of Christ, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the indwelling of God's Spirit. If we take the gift of God's rule and put it into practice by serving as God's mouth, God's hands, and God's feet, we shall be fulfilling our identity as God's beloved daughters and sons. If we accept the gift of God's Holy Spirit, then we are as empowered as Jesus was. And like him, we can transform water into wine. We can exercise the authority of the Spirit in the storms of life and bring them to a peaceful calm. We can feed multitudes. We can open the eyes of the blind. We can help the lame to walk. We can heal the people who are considered to be unclean and polluted in our society. We can raise those in our society who are suffering the death of living and comfort those who are experiencing the death of dying. These are the activities of the kingdom of God. And no one else except those who receive the gifts in God's basket can actualize God's kingdom in this world. As we engage in them as God's partners, God's objectives of love and justice, peace and equality are produced in us and through us in our society and in our world. Doing them day by day draws us into God's freedom, the kind of freedom that God reveals by not dividing the world into us and them. Moses covered the glory that his face reflected with a veil. He covered it with a veil because the gifts of God's basket were limited to him and him only. Like Jesus, we do not limit the gifts of God's kingship and God's Spirit, because we, as God's beloved daughters and sons, do not divide the world into us and them. We share the gifts of God's basket with others, regardless of race, class, or gender. And therefore, we do not veil our face as Moses did. We grow into a godlike freedom using the treasures of God's basket that we carry around within ourselves. And then our faces will disclose a glory that we probably will not see when we look at ourselves in the mirror, but others will see it. And they will want to know our secret, and that will give us an opportunity to share the gifts of God's kingship and God's Spirit, so that God will continue to have more and more partners in this world. Amen.